How many of you went on youth retreats, marriage retreats, young couples retreats, senior adult retreats, and had that mountaintop experience? Felt good. Came back excited, and what were we going to do when we got home? We were going to do what? We were going to conquer the world for God. What happened Monday morning? Where was that feeling? We lost it, didn't we? Why did we lose it? We need to continue to be filled with the Spirit and to know that it needs that constantly. The evangelist Billy Graham, who is now 93 years old, has done a lot of good in this world. He has preached and taught the truth of Jesus Christ. And they say that in his lifetime that he has preached to somewhere 2.2 billion people have heard God's word from him. Can you imagine that? 2.2 billion people. The question was asked, how was he able to accomplish good in this world? And how was he able to stay clean in this world of uncleanness? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit to be guided. He kept his eyes focused upon God. He kept his direction with God. And Philippians 2:13, he says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. I remember when Billy Graham went on TV and how they would always try to change what he said and never could change it. Why could they not change it? Because he spoke God's word, the truth. It couldn't be changed. We like, as people today, to play on words. I can say something and you could hear something totally different. But you know what? When Billy Graham was speaking, all they could hear was God's word. That's it. What he spoke, what he heard, what he said is the same thing that everybody else heard and knew was true. God is his work through us, through his Spirit. He has given us. Jesus looked at his disciples and says, I leave with you. And he left the Holy Spirit. And you remember in Acts, they were sitting up in that room that day, and what happened? The Spirit came upon them, and they boldly started to preach. We are witnesses of these things, the Scripture says, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those. And then Peter, in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God's plan is simply this. In order for the people on this earth to hear God's word, it is going to come through who? Us, the Christians. It is going to come through us. Now, we can mouth things all we want to, can't we? And words don't mean a thing. But we have to live it. They have to see it within us. And so, as he calls us, how do we know that the Spirit has come to live in us? Because the Scripture said so. God says, and Jesus said in John 14, I will never leave you. I'm going to prepare a place, but I'm going to come back. I am not going to leave you. I'm going to leave the Spirit with you. And he is always with us. The Scripture said so. Some people claim to have experiences much more extreme than others. And I think it's great to hear some of these speakers that talk about this great experience they had with their conviction when they accepted Jesus Christ. But in God's sight, every accepting of him and asking him into your heart is the same to God. None is better than the other. We may have it. We may feel something totally different than someone else. But in God's sight, all that accept him is the same. Our relationship is not built on feelings. And we do. We have great feelings sometimes, don't we? But our feelings will change. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are things that come and go and change. Our relationship is built on the Word of God, what he has promised us, what he is doing within us, and not the feelings that we have, because sometimes they change. How can we be filled even more? Have a daily walk with him. The more we pray, the more we read, the more God fills us Isn't that great? It hinges on what? Not how much God's going to give us, is it? God will give us all of it. But it depends on us. How much of the Spirit do you want? How much do you want to be filled is what God is saying. I will fill you up to the brim, as we talked about the other week. I will fill you overflowing is what God is saying. The question is, how much do we want to be filled? How much are we going to read God's Word? How much are we going to be in prayer with Him? How much of the Spirit are we going to live? And the more that we do that, the more we get filled with the Spirit. So as we think about that, we need to see quickly three things. Being filled with God's Spirit energizes witnessing. I've got a secret to tell you. I can't wait to tell somebody this secret. And then you can't wait to do what? Tell somebody else, right? We get excited when we have a secret. When somebody tells us something, says, don't tell, we can't hardly wait to tell somebody else, can we? That's what God wants us to do, folks. He wants us to get energized. He wants us to share His Word to everybody. He wants us to talk about it. Now, I used to be, and not as much as I am now, a sports fanatic in every sport that we had. I could tell you the point standings of NASCAR. I could tell you who the leading was. I could tell you the averages of baseball for all the players. I could tell you about football. Anything you wanted to know about sports, I could tell you. I was a walking encyclopedia. And you know what? I talked it all the time. I hung around with people that were that way. And therefore, I was able to do it. Now, if we had that much excitement about Jesus, wouldn't we want to tell somebody else? It's not a secret. God didn't say, don't tell anybody. But what God is saying is what? Tell everybody. And since He's saying, tell everybody, that's not a secret. We don't want to tell it, do we? Where's the excitement that we need, the energizing? As I get older, I realize I don't have the energy that I used to have. And maybe I need that Energizer Bunny and put that same battery he's got back here somewhere. You know? But I found out there's a battery that's stronger and better than anything battery. And that's God's Word. If we listen to Him, if we talk to Him, we pray with Him, if we're with Him in constant walking with Him, He will energize us, won't He? When Vance Habner came to my church when I was a young person, you know what I saw? An old, decrepit man that two people had to help up these steps to get to the pulpit. And I thought, man, this is going to be a good sleep this hour. They took his hands and they put him on the pulpit. And I looked and I thought, man, he ain't going to make it. He's going to die before he gets the first word out of his mouth. But you know what? He closed his eyes. He held on to that pulpit for a second. He opened those eyes up. And he was the most energized person I'd ever heard besides Billy Graham. That man preached with excitement. He preached with energy. And after it was over with, that same man had to be helped down the steps. And I thought it would take 2 hours to get him to the front pew. If we let God use us, it doesn't matter how old you are or how bad your bones ache. If we're in God's will, He will provide it. Just like Vance Habner. He preached until he couldn't preach no more. And then God took him home. So when's retirement start? It don't. There is no retirement in Christianity. As long as we are on this earth, God wants us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He wants us to be energized about it. Are we quick to speak God's Word? If we're somewhere, are we quick to speak it? We can be quick about the weather. We can be quick about politics, whether we like the Democrats or the Republicans, or whether we like our president or not. We're quick about voicing our opinions about those, aren't we? But are we quick to voice our opinions about our love for Jesus Christ? What makes people hesitate? Why aren't they sharing it? Here are some reasons. I am afraid I might do more harm than good. I don't know what to say. I may not be able to give snappy answers to tricky questions. I may seem bigot. I may invade someone's privacy. I am afraid I might fail. I am afraid that I might be a hypocrite. And here's the most common fear of any, is that I may be rejected. Folks, we're not rejected. People are not rejecting us. If they don't accept Jesus Christ when you share it with them, they're rejecting God, not us. So what are we afraid of? This survey that Billy Graham did, it says this, and he says, what is your greatest hindrance to witnessing? 9% said that they were too busy to remember to do it. Too busy. 28% felt the lack of real information to share. I don't know enough to share. I don't know enough scriptures to share. 12% said their own lives were not speaking as they should. In other words, they weren't living right. If I'm not living right, then I'm not going to share about God. But the biggest group, 51%, whose biggest problem was the fear of how the other person would react. These are all statistics that came from Billy Graham and their studies and their surveys. This is what's happening. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for us. And sure, none of us like to be laughed at. We don't like to be the joke of the party. We don't like to be ridiculed, do we? So therefore, it's easier to do what? Not do it. God's Spirit in us is powerful because it's not us. It's God speaking through us, just as He is speaking through me this morning. And therefore, we are filled with the Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit produces joy. Where's our joy this morning? Are we excited? How many really jumped up out of the bed and said, I can't wait to get to church, man. I'm so excited. If you're like me, you probably need your coffee first. If you got your coffee, then after that, then you can say, oh, well, I guess it's church time. I got to get up and go to church. Where is our excitement? Are we excited about Jesus? If it looks fun or something that's interested, we might even try it, don't we? My wife is good at that. When I got married, I ate meat, potatoes, and biscuits every meal. We got married, 90% of what she ate was vegetables. I don't like vegetables. And now that I'm old enough, I thought, I don't have to eat vegetables. My mother can't make me. She doesn't live with me anymore. Or should I say, I don't live with her anymore. But then my wife says, you're going to eat what I put on the table, or you can go out to eat, and we don't have any money for you to go out to eat, so guess what? So I'm eating vegetables now. Well, now she's in this new thing, and she goes and she finds these menus, and they do some kind of little different things here or there, and it's always, I'm going to try this. And then she looks at me and says, you're going to try this, aren't you? Folks, that's what God is doing. You're going to try this, aren't you? You're not afraid to try Jesus, are you? You're not afraid to speak up for the name of Jesus. You might not be able to get up here and sing or preach or play the piano, but what we can do is what? Share the word of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission didn't say, if you're qualified, then go witness, did he? He didn't say go to evangelism school. He didn't say get a degree. He says go, period. Everyone, go. So that means that all of us should feel that joy of wanting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. My parents called yesterday. They got snow down at Virginia Beach. They're excited. They don't get to see much snow. And yes, they had a lot of wrecks too. And that is what God has called us to do. He wants us to be filled with joy. He wants us to enjoy it. And then the last thing, he wants us to be filled with God's Spirit, which induces worship. Now I'll share with just a hint of the last weekend. When we got down there, we didn't go down. Then once we got down there, we had to make a 90-degree turn over here. And then we made about a 45-degree, and then we could go in to the building. From that point, all the way back to the back of the left side. When's the last time we've seen the front fill up before the back? Our church starts where? You got to get early to get the back row and then work to the front. And the last person is so embarrassed, I'm so embarrassed, I've got to go down to the front. We need to be filled with worship. We need to give adoration to God, praises to our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to worship Him in spirit, in song, in any way that you feel is great. Sometimes we get excited because, oh, those kids are dancing. They're jumping up and down and waving their hands to Jesus and tears coming through there and God is speaking to them. Then that's worship, folks. That is worship. And that's what we need. But when we leave this building or any other building and we have no feeling of remorse, no change in where we felt before we came into here, we've not worshiped. And that is what we need, God's Spirit to induce worship with us. The piano is great, the voices is great, but that doesn't mean a thing if it doesn't move us. God speaks through me, God speaks through the music, those that are singing, God speaks. We have to hear, don't we? And if we're not hearing it, we won't see it. Dwight L. Moody had a revival in England, and one preacher protested, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated, inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" Another and wiser preacher responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." Does he have a monopoly on our lives right now? Does God have more of our lives than the other things? That's what we need today. We need to come and listen and hear God speak to us. We need to feel the Holy Spirit filling us up and using us to win this world back for God. But we can't do that until what? If you'll notice, the disciples, they were afraid. They prayed. The Spirit filled them. And then they win. If we go out here without God and try to win people to Him, we will fail miserably. We will falter. But if we will do that, if we will pray and let the Spirit fill us, then we can go out here and it doesn't matter what. If they don't accept Christ, that's okay. But at least the seed was planted. Some will plant. Some will fertilize.
Some will water and some will reap the harvest of God. Maybe you're not the harvester. Maybe you are the seed planter. Maybe you're the person that puts the fertilizer on there. But God uses all of us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and our minds and our souls. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. And help us, Father, this morning to be filled with your Spirit, excited and with what you are going to do with us.